Today's daf in Masechet Shevi'it Yerushalmi, brought to you from Yerushalayim HaKodesh, is daf Mem Daled, and we're going to need Reb Barnea today, and his maps. I have everything in the Tanya, I don't have it here in Yerushalayim with me, depending how well we want to do it. But in any event, we had gotten up to the bottom of Mem Gimel Amud Beis. And that's the question, what's the din of the city of Akko itself? Where did we get up? Sorry, I only got up to Amahalech Mi'akko La'akziv, correct? Gavi, is that correct? Barnea? Gavi's
I've been traveling without a safer. I don't know.
Do you remember my saying the sugya about Amahalech Mi'akko La'akziv? No, I don't remember saying it. Okay, so then let's start from Mem Gimel Amud Beis. Somebody is on the road going from Akko north to Chaziv. So now this is based on the fact that the actual area that runs along the coast was not suitable for a road. And anybody who's been in that area understands that it's very rough coastal. Would take you from the Rosh HaNikra and so on. These are tough areas. So even south of that, the road was built higher up and it was surrounded on either side by land. It didn't go up against the coast. And the question is, we're assuming over here, according to almost all of the Shitas, that the Erlei Bavel did not actually capture or not actually were Mekadesh the areas to the side of the road along the coast. They were only captured from the road going to the east. And therefore, if you're going north on the road from Akko to Chaziv, which is surrounded by land, so then you should know that for sure, to the right-hand side of the road, that is definitely considered to be Eretz Yisrael, and there's no Tumas Ha'amim, because remember that we have a Gezerah, it was a two-part Gezerah, of Tumah of Eretz Ha'amim originally, because of the fact that the Kohen would bury bodies all over the place, so that we made a Gezerah that the area where the Goyim were has to be worried that maybe he came into Maga with some atzomais or something that had been dug up there, whatever. And because of that, he's considered to be Tame. And because of that, even if you would bring in the actual Gush of the Eretz Ha'amim into Eretz Yisrael, we'd have to assume that there's Tuma there. Later on, which was before the Churban, and the Gemara goes through the different Shmenim Shana Lifnei Churban Abayas and so on, we made additional Gezeres. And then we were Gezer even on the Avir, in which case, even if you went through the Eretz Ha'amim in a way where you absolutely did not come into contact by touching something, we were Gezer even on the Avir Eretz Ha'amim. And we'll see later on in this Brisa that it's going to be Nogea, whether we're talking about the Avir or the Gush. But right now, let's not make any distinction. There's no Tumas of Eretz Ha'amim to the right, and it's also considered to be Eretz Yisrael, Legabi V'chiyav of Meiser, and Legabi keeping Shemitah, unless you know for a fact that Achati Vadala Chashi Petura. Now, it could be that Reb Barnea is with you, and he knows every inch, of course, of the road. He doesn't know what's right or what's left, but that's a minor issue. Maybe you can compensate for that. But he knows every inch of this road, and he knows sometimes it actually, they had to do the road because of mountains in the way or tough terrain. So sometimes it went a little bit to the left, sometimes it went a little bit to the right. So if Barnea tells you, listen, you're in an area where you're actually even to the right of the load, You're in Chutz La'aretz, in Eretz Amin. Fine. So then if he tells you that, so then you know that you would be potter. You also, unless you're told otherwise, you have to assume that to the left of the road, towards the coast, because you're heading north, then the area is Tame because of Eretz Amin, and there's no Chiev of Maisras, and there's no Chiev of Shemitah, unless you know for a fact that the road has been actually turning towards the right, and now you're in the middle of an area where even the left is, but fine, that's true. But unless you know otherwise, you can assume that there's no problem and that everything is okay. The question is, of course, why do you say your putter from Shvias? I thought you said that you're not allowed to do Shvias. We said even in the area that was Eilei Mitzrayim. Didn't we say that before? So how come over here we're saying it's putter Mishvias? Pashta says putter Mishvias in every sense, even in terms of being able to do things during Shvias, which we had said was also by Eilei Mitzrayim. Fine. So look, we know there's a lot of different approaches to this, but one thing is for sure. We know that there were areas that the Eilei Bavel specifically kept out of the Kedushas Haaretz. So those areas that were kept out of Kedushas Haaretz, which furthermore, according to some shitas, maybe they were completely surrounded by areas that were Kodesh. Those areas, it says in the Gemara, Hinichum Kedesh Yismachu Aleim Aniyim Bishvias. They bedafka left them out. So those areas that were bedafka left out, we were never gozer Shvias on. And therefore, they left them out on purpose for Aniyim that would otherwise not be able to have sufficient food. So maybe that's what it's talking about. That's how some understand this idea of not being chayav and shvias. Okay. In any event, how far does this go? How far north would this be true? All the way up to Kziv. Whereas Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yossi, quotes Rabbi Yossi as saying, no, actually, it's only until Lavlava. So not all the way up to Kziv. Now, that means that the road that goes out of Akko is an area which is part of the area that is considered, ooh, I forgot to press the record, which is part of the area that is considered to be Eretz Yisrael, right? So you're saying to the right of the road, it's Eretz Yisrael. But what about the city of Akko itself, where the road began? Let's say, so you're getting onto the turnpike over here of Akko. Are you in Eretz Yisrael? Are you in Chutz La'aretz? What's the din? Says Rav Acha bar Yaakov, b'shem Rav Ami, there are two meisim, mitrein ovdei, the Rebbe. We have two meisim that happened to Rebbe. We know from those two meisim that at least some of Akko is in Eretz Yisrael, and some of Akko is outside. Anan Yalfina, Akko Yeshba Eretz Yisrael, v'yeshba Chutz La'aretz. What are the two stories? So the two stories begin here on Memdal. Rebbe was visiting Akko once, and he sees that the people in Akko are eating very high-quality bread. The only way that you can make high-quality bread that's very white bread, remember those days, they were very makshiv white bread, and he asked them, gosh, what are you using to do letita? Remember that letita is washing off the grains, which gets them cleaner before you actually make the bread. Well, if you do that, you've got a big problem. I mean, first of all, you have a problem about chometz and Pesach and so on, which is why our matzahs are not very white. And you have a problem if you're in an area that's tummy, that the bread is going to be tummy, which is going to destroy your trumas and your challahs and so on. So Rebbe sees them eating this beautiful bread. So he was worried about the fact that it would have been tummy because they must have washed it. So he asked them, how exactly did you get your bread so white without making it tummy? Now, the very fact that he's worried about making it tummy means that he holds that they are in Eretz Yisrael. Because the whole Israel is only Esher Ligram Tuma L'chulin Beretz Yisrael. I mean, obviously, if you're in an area which is anyway Tummy, so then just Tummy Beretz Amim. It's ridiculous to worry about it. There's no way that anything could retain its tyra once you make it into bread anyway. So that's our raya, as we're going to see. But anyway, so he asked them, how do you keep it tough? And it wouldn't be Mokshar Kabal Tuma. So they said to him, well, one of your Talmidim came here, and he told us that if you use egg water, that's not makshir to be mekabel tumah. So we always use egg water to be Milatet. How do we make egg water? We take a big pot, put eggs in it, cook up the eggs, and then the egg water is not metame, which is insane. There's no such halacha anywhere that egg water is not metame. What the guy meant was, is that if you make your bread with eggs, so you use the white of the eggs or the mixed, whatever, that's what he meant by egg water. He meant that you're using the eggs. And they thought he meant literally egg water. So Sovereign Neymar, they thought that egg water meant mei shelek shel beitzim, water in which you had boiled eggs, which is ridiculous. V'lo amar ela mei beitzim atzman. But he was talking about the water of the eggs themselves. And the Bavli, this story, is the difference between mei bitsa'in and mei beitzim. Mei bitsa'in, they thought that he was talking about Mebitzain. Mebitzain would be swamp water. And that they thought that swamp water isn't called water and it's not matame. And he was really talking about Mebitzain. Fine. But the bottom line is that the guy who was giving this psak halacha to people did not explain himself very well. And therefore, he shouldn't have been in a position of giving pizkei halachas when he doesn't know how people are going to misunderstand.
Okay. He was a local yokel.
Well, yeah, we'll see. He didn't have smicha. All right. So in
any could be chaminados, Rabbi.
Huh?
Could be chaminados, the tafshil with the boiled eggs. That's
yeah, yes, exactly. That's exactly the case over there. Exactly.
Yeah.
Right. So anyway, so what do we see from here? That Rabbi assumed that they were very careful to make things betaira. So it must be that at least that part of Akko had to have been Eretz Yisrael. Because there was no gezerah of Eretz Amim, and therefore what Rabbi was asking them made sense. Amar of Yaakov Baridi, you know what happened? Because of that, we instituted what we call smicha, and that a Talmud cannot give a psak halacha if he doesn't have smicha. Now, obviously, it doesn't mean really smicha, because the real meaning of smicha is smicha from Moshe Rabbeinu, but it means that you need a written certificate that you're allowed to be Moira Hira. That's called Yore Yore, right? Yo, what we call today Yore Yore is not a smicha. It's this Gemara. So miotasha gazru shelo yetamin Moira Hira. And what's more, Rubchia b'shem Ravuna paskins the Talmud shahora afilu kalacha ein horata horaya, which is unbelievable. So that would mean, and this is incredible because there are actually piskei halachas, according to the Shulchan Aruch. If a Talmud gave piskei halachas about, let's say, questions of Gittin, then the Gittin would be posel, because it said over here, according to Rabbi Chiya, in hora Torah ya, which is, again, that is drastic. And you know, Baruch Hashem, that the Ramah doesn't paskin that way, and there are shitas that say, we don't paskin, like Reb Chiya b'shem Rav Huna, but if he did it right, so then it's not, we didn't make any kind of gezeiras to actually passel his gittin and so on. Okay, there's a big issue. Once we're already on the topic about the Meira Halacha, we get into the issue of Meira Halacha b'fnei Rabo. So Tani, Tamit Shora Halacha b'fnei Rabo, would be Chayev Misa. This is obviously Misa Midei Shamayim. And also, we're only talking about where this is Rabbi Muvak. So he's chayev bidei shamayim if he goes ahead and he says a psak halacha in front of his Rebbe. Now, it's a big machlokas whether bifnei rabo means literally bifnei rabo, or if it means, like we're going to see later, that he's within Yud Beis Mil of Rabbi. So that's a big shaila. There are those who learn that he's chayev misi even if he's within Yud Beis Mil of Rabbi Muvak. We'll see as we go along what the issues are here. Tani b'shem Reb Lezer, lo meisu nodav aviu, ela shahoru bifnei Moshe Rabba. And nodav aviu only died because of bidei shamayim, because they brought an eish zara shelo tzuva. Why shelo tzuva? They were right, you're supposed to bring min ahedyat, because Moshe hadn't told them that. They had then decided. And that means they should have asked Moshe what the din is, and they didn't. Because of that, it was called Eish Zara, even though it was halachically correct. And there was a Maisa, Bifnei, the Talmud, who was Meira Halacha, Bifnei Rebbe Eliezer, Rabbi, and he told his wife, and her name was Ima Shalom, he told Ima Shalom, Ishto, wait and see. This guy is dead man walking. He's not going to last a week. And sure enough, he died within that week. Lo yatzah shabbato, atcher mate. So the Talmidim asked him, how did Rebbe know this guy was going to die? Is he a Navi? So Rebbe, Naviata, Amala, nonsense. Lo Navi Anochi, lo Ben Navi Anochi. But I have a Kabbalah from my Rabbein called Umid Amore Alacha Bifnei Rabo, Chayiv Misa. And I believe what I'm taught. Right. Now the question is, what is considered to be Bifnei Rabo in terms of the issue? Satani osir l'talmid l'orot alacha b'fnei rabo, ad she rochok mimenu shneim asar mil k'machne Yisrael. So you would have to be 12 kilometers away, which is basically the distance of Machne Yisrael, because, again, Moshe Rabbeinu said to everybody to bring your rise to the Besdin. But that means anyone within Machne Yisrael is supposed to come to Moshe. That's what it says beferish at the beginning. So when Moshe took his oil and not alone mechutz l'machana, archeik min ha-machana, haya kol mevakish Hashem yatzah lo amoy, that is 12 mil in the maximum distance. So because of that, you're not allowed to give over any kind of psak. After, now the question is, after we have this halacha, that you can have the written, what we call smicha, from the Rebbe, so then, l'chora, you would be mutter. So that is big machlokas. Once you get that written permission, does that mean that it's still usher within your base meal? Or does it mean that it's usher anywhere if your Rebbe is still alive? Furthermore, was there a difference between a Rebbe who's Rebbe Muvak or a Rebbe who's essentially a Talmud Chaver? These are tremendous machlokas about where the Chiyuv Misa is. Basically, everybody agrees mamish in front of the Rebbe. There's a Chiyuv Misa. Then there's a machlokas. According to some of the Rishonim, within Yud Beis Mil, there's a Chiyuv Misa even with the what we call smicha, unless the Rebbe is no longer alive. Okay, so it's not within 12 mil, obviously. How do we know that the Machane Yisrael was Shnei Masar Mil? Matam, we know that from Vayachanu Ala Yardein, Mi Beit HaYishimot Ad Avel HaShitim. And remember that we had the Gemara in the Bavli that says that I actually saw that, and I measured it. That was Rabbi Bar Bar Chona, and I measured it, and it was Shnei Masar Mil. Okay, so that's a given. And we know that there was an actual Maisa, Kehada Rabbi Tanchum Bar Chia. And he was living in the town of Hefer, and people would come, and they would talk to him, and ask him halachas, and he used to give a psak. And he would do this all the time. Humore, shalime, humore. And this went on for years. Anyway, so some people came to him, and they said, but Rebbe, lo kein alfin Rebbe, shasu v'tamad lohoros halacha lifnei Rebbe, ad she rochak b'menu shneim asar mil k'machana Yisrael. And your Rebbe, Rebbe Mona, is living in Tzipori. And Tzipori is within 12 mil of Haifa. So how are you doing these psak halachas? Oh, Marlon, oh my God, Yesi Alai, the worst should fall on my head if I knew about this. Loya diet, I had no idea. Rebbe Mona is within Yud Beis Mil, but he's now in Tzipori. Mina Ishaita Lohori. No, that moment on, Rebbe Tanchum Bar Chia never gave it psak halacha. Okay. So now getting back to our question. What's the din of akl? So we said we have two maisim. We didn't tell you both maisim. We only told you one of the two maisim. What was the other maisim that shows that their parts of akl at least are in Eretz Yisrael and part in Chutz La'aretz? Well, Rebbe was in akl and he sees this guy Choma Barnash, Solak Min Kiftav Le'el, and he saw him that he was going up to the higher area in Akko. So he said to him, excuse me, aren't you the son of Mr. Cohen? Wesat Bered de Plan Kahana. So if you're the son of Mr. Cohen, that means your father was a Cohen. And therefore you are a Cohen. How are you allowed to go up to that the top of that kippah, which is in Chutz Laaretz? Amar Lei, so the Cohen says to Rebbe, because my father was stuck up, Enav Shel Abba Yugvot, he went ahead and he married a Gioris, Minasa Isha Sheino Genesvo, and look what he did to me. I'm not a Cohen. But anyway, we see that there was also clearly a part of Akko where it was also for the Cohen to go. And that Rebbe immediately tried to stop him until he found out that he was a chalal. And therefore, it all depends on the specific map of Olei Bavel and the areas of that map. Now, it's too late for us to do this today. This is a very famous and complicated and Barnea-ish sugya, because there's over a dozen different, first of all, there's different yersos in this particular brisa. This is a famous brisa, which is actually quoted. Where is this? A psifas that quotes this. I forgot where. Right, Barnea? It appears on the floor of one
Rehov.
Of in Rehov.
The Tel Rehov Psifas, which is in the Israel Museum.
Okay, so this is like a very, very famous brisa.
Brisa de Tchumim is the way they call it.
Yes. It's called the Brisa Tchumim. As I said, there's so many different Gersaot. It's almost impossible to identify these places. There's a machlokas in every one of these places, what it's referring to. And because of that, to actually get a sense of what's going on is a big shaila. And it's not even clear whether the point of the Brisa is to mention these places, or the point of the Brisa is to trace the outside of the border of the area that the B'nai Bavel took, and that therefore we should only look along the border for the identification of these towns. That itself is a big machlokas. So, as I say, tomorrow, Bezrat Hashem, I'm hoping that Parnea will maybe give us some archaeological insights, but the Chazon Ish doesn't hold of those insights to be semich on the Mahalacha, which are, they're based on things like similarity of names to Arab places today, and Yitainas have no reason and no right to be semich on that, or it's even possible if it's the exact same name, it could be that the city was destroyed, rebuilt elsewhere, and that all of the archaeological proofs are not to be taken into consideration Mahalacha. So anyway, I'm not quite sure why we should be spending a lot of time on it, but it's fascinating because it's so much a part of the limud of both sugya of kedusha Haaretz and the different stages. So if Reb Barnea will help us, and we'll do it, otherwise we'll just run through it, use names without even attempting to identify.
I would just like to say one thing that is the ha'ara that I think in yeshiva I assumed that Olei Bavel was a conquest, but it was a tzura of chazaka. And recently, I think I mentioned this once, it's become so clear what a hold the Goyim had on Eretz Yisrael, and we barely had a yishuv. And so it's a chazaka that here we managed to settle and break ground, but not in that area, so that's why it's outside, and not this city, not that city. We didn't come and take control. We had permission to come in. We barely had something in Yerushalayim.
That's going according to the approach that these are individual cities and not cities marking the actual border. If they're marking the border, then your conclusion is not necessarily true. The last line, Mem Dalet Amud Aleph, is Tchumei Eretz Yisrael. So as we mentioned, this braita is an ancient braita. It's been found in the actual psifas on the floor. And where was it? Charuv, you said, Barnea?
Tel Rechov, near Beit Shan.
Near Beit Shan. Okay. And it has...
Why? Because it was a public service message. Because you were coming from Eber Yarden and you were going to Beit Shan. So was it anybody who came to that shul is going somewhere. So it's very fitting. It's like very helpful to know. You know, you guys
Wow. Beautiful, beautiful. That's amazing. It's really amazing. All right, so this is called the Brice of the Tchumim, and the problem is that because of the fact that it was transcribed in so many different places in so many different ways, there are so many versions of this Brice that it's difficult to know precisely, especially when you're talking about these place names, which are idiosyncratic spellings and pronunciations, and they occur in so many different ways in the different Gersos of the Brises. It's very, very difficult to really know what we're talking about. And even though there's been tons and tons of research and sfaras by Rishonim, by Achronim, by people that Barnea loves, you know, over there in Tel Aviv U, and by many scientific works, or semi-scientific works. In any event, in all of these cases, we know that we've got a problem in terms of halacha lemaisa, because as I mentioned yesterday, the Chazon Ish, more recently, Reb Shlomo Zalman Zatzal, paskin that you cannot rely on these hashores to actually be mekel. But so mostly, actually, it's brought in terms of a chumrah, that maybe according to the Shita, this particular place has a Kedushas Haaretz. And as we mentioned yesterday, there's also a major difference in how to understand what the Brita is referring to. So some of the Rishonim, including the Rash, assume that the Pshat is that this is the same as the Gvulei Haaretz, the way that they're given in the Torah, in terms of the Eilim Mitzrayim, and that would be that we just describe the actual Gvul. In other words, we go around and we tell you, okay, now move up north, that city, turn right, and go east, and so on and so forth. But we're not talking about the names of particular places. So that's one approach. But there's a completely different approach, and the different approach is that since the Gemara says that there were so many areas that the Olei Bavel had access to, but they did not give them Kedusha in order for the Aniyim to be Semech Aleihem Bishviyas, so we need to tell you the names of every place that is surrounded by areas that were not Mekudesh, B'Kedushas Haaretz, even though they were inhabited. And therefore, you would have thought that the name of the city that we're telling you is also not Kadesh. So we want to tell you that this particular place is Kadesh, despite the fact that the area around it was known not to be Kadesh B'Kadosh Zaret. So it's a totally different approach, in which case you have to be looking in totally different places in order to figure out what names these could be referring to. So that yields very different results. Anyway, so we will now hand the reins over to Reb Barnea, who will take us through a tour of his neighborhood, not the whole neighborhood, of course, which includes 3/4 of the globe so far, but just his local neighborhood of the Tchumim of Olei Bavel. Please, Reb Barnea, begin Tchumei Eretz Yisrael.
I appreciate the cover, but this require a tremendous amount of preparation, and my day and evening till after 2 did not go that way. And I wanted to get up at 5 a.m., but I went up to 2. I'll just mention that the Gaaton might be David Wilner's Gaaton.
Wait a minute. I know what Gaaton is. Start from the beginning.
I'm handing
you over the reins means I want to know whatever you remember, and I want to see the maps. Come on. I mean, don't tell me you don't have time to take out a book with your maps. Get out of here, man. Stretch out your arm, Shlichus Yad, to the bookshelf next to you. You think I don't know where you are? Go be Meshaleach Yadcha and show us. It's not as if you weren't warned.
No, it wasn't, but I went to the Hamilton Bar Mitzvah. Okay, you want me to take out one of the sheets that shows the boundaries?
Okay. So, whatever you have accessible easily within arm reach, Meshaleach Yadcha. I can't believe this. I was so looking forward to being a nice listener to a beautiful presentation. The only thing I knew is that when you say turn to the right, it might mean turn to the left. Okay, but besides that, I was going to just relax.
I felt bad from yesterday because I didn't expect that I would have the time. But here's one book. Just notice the thickness. Here's another book.
Yeah, but never judge a book by its cover, Barnea. We need to see what's inside.
This is an incredible work.
Wait a minute. We're not doing a book review, sweetie. We are doing a presentation.
Look how many pages of maps.
Amazing.
So you want me to make
Can we see the maps or
here's for one of them. Here's the Tchum Ali Babel just for the Bashan, right? He goes for the whole country. This is a major presentation.
Wow. Okay, which book is that?
Yom Darom Yerusha.
Oh, wow. Right? Okay, yeah.
From Rabbi Yamin Kleinstein, Rabbi Yamin Baruch Kleinstein, put it out in Shnat Shemitah Tashin Pei Beis. Astonishing. Just astonishing. And then this is an entire Sefer and Shalosh Shartzis L'Shvias from Rabbi Yehuda Landi Zatzal. Right? Besides his that. It's overwhelming. In previous times, it's all on the WhatsApp. I spent time and posted on the maps. I was not able to prepare for today. I apologize. Right? But I do want to mention that.
Can you go through the words in the sugya and those things that ring a bell? Tell us what you know about them. Start from the beginning. We start with Parashat Chumat, which means. That's your neighborhood, for heaven's sakes, Chumat, right?
I have a different girsa. I have a Parashat Ashkelon starting. They took it out. I don't know why that is, but that's what I have. Doesn't Rabbi have the same girsa? No. Yeah, Bahasan versus Parashat Chashmel and the Kanish Parmanus and Sharmu Kain. My Pirish took a different approach and changed the girsa. I took out those words. Let's just look at the words.
Please.
Pashas Chomas, I don't know. Midrash Shed, I don't know. Shur Da'akko, the wall of Akko, is fascinating. We discussed in the past that the Na'aman River changed from one side of the hill of ancient Akko to the other, and you have to try and recreate where that boundary is. Just fascinating.
What's the Syria de Galilea?
I don't know. The next one I have where I'd like to say something is that Megaton is...
You tried that before, skipping to Megaton. Now let's go to the Chivrata. Anything about that? Beit Zanita?
No.
Ay.
No, I'm sorry. I don't.
Kuvaya? You know anything about Kuvaya? Is this
Rebbe?
Yes.
I don't have what to add here to you. I will look on Thursday.
All right, fine.
Right, devote hours on Thursday.
Okay, No, I don't want to chas v'shalom. But this is very important because Gavi is here, and the next case is Buria Rapta. That sounds to me a heck of a lot like Birya.
It may reflect the other chazal of what are the places where we read Megillah on the 15th and Yeshua ben Nun in the old cities. I think Birya is there.
Yeah, but why would we call it Birya Rapta? It's only because Gavi lives there, undoubtedly, right? We call it Greater Birya.
The Birya where he looks for the rabbis.
Okay, Tafnis. No words. Sanapata, come on, these sounds like such beautiful places. Mecharta de Yatir? Where's Yatir?
I can on the fly look through this. Sanapata, I think, is near the Angara Chula. One of the names of the Chula is Yam HaSufani.
Okay, now we're getting there. Okay. So this
others
is.
Old, others hold it to see a city in today's Lebanon.
Okay, where's Yatir?
The Tfuras Ha'aretz says that there's caves by the city of Yatir, and it's not known, but others say that it's Yatir.
Where is that?
6 kilometers north of Ita Ashab, which was which is
All right. I think what we have to give. All right. I'm going to give you time to prepare. So I thought that you were like more. Now we're at the Gaton. So tell me about the Gaton. Rosh me Gaton. The Gaton Atzma.
So much fun. The suggestion is that that's the river in Nahariya, which runs in the middle of the main road. So what I do is I take the groups and I have them on the south side, and then I wave from the north and vice versa. And then one group is inside the boundary of Trub, and one side is outside. Just so much fun to do. Mamish a boundary. We control it a lot, but the headwaters of the Gaton start from the field some miles in. And it really is a clear boundary, unfeathered, right? You'd say, wow, we've come to a border.
Okay.
And then you're dealing with the Akko and Ksiv, and to the right and to the left. On that, there's a businessman who went back to school like me, and he did a whole paper on the Machlokas Bavli and Yerushalmi of what's to the east and what's to the west, which is two different ways. And he showed archaeologically that the situation of where Goyim were and where Jews were changed between the time of the Yerushalmi and the time of the Bavli. And each one, she does so. Wow. She's very beautiful and consistent.
Okay, so you want to just read us the names inside, and then if there's something that you know, tell us, and if not, we'll just move on. So we got to the Gaton, okay, Mesafar. No words? Are you giving up? Archeshet? No words?
Archeshet, Migdal Charuv, Ulam Ravdan, and the proof of the Eon. Eon is Mar Jiyun, which is just past our boundary, about 6 kilometers up from Atula. Assumedly, that's it.
What about the Eon? Isn't there a Nahar Eon? Isn't there like a, in the Golan, an Eon?
The river is, yes, not the Golan. They're Metula, past Kiryat Shmona. Right? It's just over the border of Lebanon. In fact, when you're on Google Maps, it's very cool. The Mar Jiyun Road is running right by you. It's just that there's a border. And that is one of the cities that Tiglath Pileser conquers together with Kadesh, et cetera. It's just over the border in Lebanon. And one of the three headwaters of the Upper Yarden comes by there. Right? When we left Lebanon after 18 years, then the Lebanese shut off the water until then we were doing better. There's the Eun Falls.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
So it's just out of reach, but you see it from a little hilltop in Metula.
Okay. Tukrat?
No. Brecharaba, Bars, Saganda, Tarngolilo, Damalam, and Kisrin. Right. There's a few different Kisrins. This might be the northern Kisrin of Kisar Jalupa, the Trachona.
Where's the northern Kisrin?
Near where the Dan comes out by the Banyas, in that area.
Okay.
Trachona, as it's brought on me, Trachona is a, might be the Mincham Nebosra, there's a city by that name that's north of Tiberia, but the area of Trachona is out to the east of the Golan. Right? But this seems to be a city, not a region, so I don't know. Umlacht is Arbai, Nimrin is in the Jordan Valley on the east side. They Nimrin, they Sachal Knas, Rafiach, Techagra, Derech Adol HaLev Cheslamidbar, we find south.
What road is that referring to? The Derech HaGdolah or
Lechem? The east. If we're in Nimrin, Lecharev, we're in Eber Yardim now.
And what's the road today? What is that road?
Right. I'm sorry. Trachon is Chen Chevel Ardov and Lechus Og Babasha. Yeah. The great area south of Damascus. And Beit Nimrin is in the Nachal of God. And 27 Beit Sirachal, it's mentioned in Yonatan ben Uzziel, where the boundary goes in the area of Chatzar Einan, but the Tfus Ara says it can't be that the only Bavu went there, and other people think that it's by Emek Sukkot, again, by Nachal Yerboth, we're on the east side in these places. So Tuknas is a place that Novach of Menashe captures, and it's Kanavat in the southeast of the Terechon near a place that's called Har Druz, and the Tfus Ara says, I can't believe it, and it might be the Kenetra, which is, everybody is famous for Kenetra, in the southwest of Syria. 29, the the Refiyev de Chagra, the Tvoris Aretz says that Refiyev is the Targum of Hatzor, and it means Atzor near a town called El Hajir, which is in the area of Kedesh Naphtali, about 8 kilometers west of the Hula.
What are these numbers that you're giving us, 29 or 20?
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm just using it. I'm in the edition that Rebbe said to give it to us is also the edition that the art scroll, I'm using the Hebrew art scroll.
Oh, I see. Okay. So it's a reference to a map, 29?
No, it's the notes. I'm sorry. It's the notes one by one. And each word, they have a paragraph discussing it. Right, just my eyes, so I shouldn't lose it. I shouldn't say the numbers, because there's no Hashivas unless somebody's using this. Right? So...
We're up to Cheshbon and Yabka?
What's it? So Refiyev de Chagra might be in the area of Kedesh Naphtali, and others... let's stay with that one. And then Rebbe wanted the Derech Hagdol HaOlech.
I wanted to know what highway that's referring to today.
Right, so... The Mishnas Yosef says that it's the path from Damascus to Mecca. In other words, it's running the entire east side of Eibar HaYarden on the edge. Right? And that would really be a boundary. But it seems more, he says, to make it that it's from Batzra to Ammon to ancient Eilat. And others say that it's there.
Do these roads exist today or no?
Basically, yeah. The main highway in Jordan, in the Derech HaMelech, is, for example, is very clear. To one side is mountains, the other side is desert. There's only one path that makes it very easy to go through, and that's what Moshe Rabbeinu was saying. Right? A lot of these the roads in Jordan are basically ancient paths and just redone. Yeah, you sense them. Yeah, that's one of the cool things to do when they're very ardent is to recreate these paths. But this is mamish a wide-ranging argument, because other Mepharshim say that we're at a different side of the country, and we're starting from Ashkelon, going to Beersheba, and going to Har Sinai, and that's the Derech HaGdolah Midbar, which, if you learn that the others were in Eber Yarden, you just made a jump. But there is a whole other approach that we're, either other things were in Derech Plishtim than the other side. I prefer, personally, the Eber Yarden side, because it's just consistent. Cheshbon is in Eber Yarden, it's an Eretz Sichon, so I'm all talking about the same area. There's two or three hills which are literally minutes from each other, Tal Hizban or others. If it's Tal Hizban, then I stood in it. Yabka is by Nachal Yabok, right? From where it starts and goes down. So again, we're in the east. Nachal Dezared, clearly, we're moving in Eber HaYarden, we're moving further south. Where Nachal Zered is a wide-ranging argument. The general public thinks it's a canyon that's past the Dead Sea down below, but that doesn't fit with other things. Judah Cohen, David Ben David Cohen, Carmen Frat, who's a master of Yarden, says that the Zeret is a Yiful. It's a bend of the Arnon that goes out to the east, which makes a lot of sense in other ways. Right? Okay. And then the Vigar Sardus said that's Calais. Again, we're in the Gilad, we're in Eber HaYarden, we're in Eber HaYarden. Rechem de Goa, what does Rebbe think that is? What might I enjoy reciting and explaining that is?
Well, obviously, Kadesh Barnea.
Yes, that is what people say. The Hopeless says Kardim Sveis Rechem Gea, and that's Ein Kudz, which is kilometers from Beersheba. I mentioned the Masa, yes. That was an Alfred Hitchcock, I'm in the story. Right.
This was the one time that you didn't even have to assert that it's your neighborhood.
Right. The Ganya de Ashkelon are the gardens of Ashkelon, which are outside, but the city itself was left as a place of Goyim. Did I send it to Rebbe? I wrote a piece on Ashkelon as opposed to Ashdod as a place of Goyim.
Yeah,
difference between that? Did I send it to Rebbe?
I remember saying, well, how long ago was it?
Maybe 2 months ago I said that.
That's very familiar.
When is Ashkelon considered the boundary and the Senequanon of Goyim, like in Davar Benesina? When is it Ashdod, the year of the Mamzer and the Pusik? And I contrasted them. But there's no question that Ashkelon itself was considered a stronghold of the Goyim, and we see that the
Could you maybe send me it again now that it's Nogea here?
Yes, but it should only be for people's private use because it hasn't been published yet.
Okay. Oh, yeah, that I remember that warning.
Yeah, and Ashkelon Atzma.
Okay, so Ashkelon Atzma, so I'll continue this because it's part of the sugya, then we'll finish up over here. Okay, what about Esther? What about Ashkelon Atzma? You're telling me Ganya da Ashkelon, but you didn't tell me what the din is of the city of Ashkelon. So Biaku Baracha B'Shem Rabbi Zira says you can be Medayik from the Brisa. Mimadatani Ganya da Ashkelon. If it says that it's only whatever these gardens of Ashkelon obviously are outside of the actual city, then the mashmaut is that Ashkelon itself is actually outside of the gvulais of the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael. Rabbi Simon, b'shem Chilfai, and Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yossi, and Bar Kapora, Ben HaKapar, nimnu al Ashkelon v'tiaru. Now there's two different gersos over here, whether it's bedavka, nimnu, we're talking about on the Avir particularly, which is the Nimnu al Avir Ashkelon Vatiaru, or is it Nimnu al Ashkelon and said that it's considered to be part of Chutzlords completely? Because if it's only the Avir, remember that it was, we mentioned before that the Avir was Shmeinim Shana Lifnei Achurban. There were a number of new Takonas. One of the Shmeinim Shana Lifnei Achurban, it says that they were gezer on Avir Eretz Amim, whereas l'chatchila there was only a gezerah on the Gush of Eretz Amim, which we discussed this yesterday. So some have the gears of Avir. Halacha l'maisa, nobody brings that there's a difference in Ashkelon between Avir and Gush, in which case it seems simply to be saying that it's Torah and it's not part of Eretz Yisrael. Mipi Rabbi Pinchas ben Yoyer, because Rabbi Pinchas ben Yoyer would know because he was himself a Kohen, and he said that we used to actually go Yordim Ayinu Lesitki Shel Ashkelon and Lokin Chitin Va'olin Li'irenu V'Tovlin Bochlin B'Trumatenu. So we used to go down to the farmer's market, the Sitki, in Ashkelon, and we used to go and buy Chitim there. Then we would come back up into where we lived, nearby, Va'olin Li'irenu, and then we would go to the mikveh, and we would be Eichlen Betrumatenu, and that means that they held that Ashkelon wasn't Tomei, because otherwise they wouldn't have been able to just go to the mikveh. I mean, to go to the mikveh, we always go to the mikveh, because whenever you go among places where there's people that there could be Roike Shazov and so on, you would go to the mikveh. But in order to be able to be Metair from Eretz Amim, you wouldn't have been able to go and eat right away. So we would have a din of Tumas Meis. So because of this, they were saying that it's Tahar. If it's Tahar, then that means it's part of Eretz Yisrael. And they're saying that Ashkelon was actually kosher for them. The Mocher, but the very next day, these same Mandiyamrin were Nimnu Alala Potrum and Amaisras. And seems to be that they gave it a din of Chutzlaretz. So what's the pshat? Now, the Pashtus is when Pinchas ben Yoyer went there, this was a brisa that was talking about during Shemitah. And it says that they used to go there during Shemitah, and it was Barnea. Yeah. So he would go there, but Pashtus would go there because they wanted to be able to be buying things during Shnas HaShemitah. And here they said that it's considered to be putter from Maisras, which is Mashmeret Chutzlaretz. Moshech Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi Yossi Yodav, Shoyi Mestamech HaBar Kapora. Now Rabbi Shmuel, B'nai Shem Rabbi Yossi, used to always hold on to Bar Kapora when he was walking. And when he heard that, he took his hands off of Bar Kapora. Amar lo b'ni, lama lo amarta li? Why didn't you say to me, mipnei mama shachtas yadecha mimeni? You should have asked me, how come all of a sudden you refused to hold on to me, and this whole time you used to walk with me by holding on to me? Because I would have told you. Hayiti omer lecha, I would have told you. Etmol, I didn't want people to think that I was together with you on this. Yesterday, you included me in that psak, right? So the reason that I said that Ashkelon was tahor is because ani hu shitimeti, v'ani hu shitiharti. Basically, I have a right to do that because the entire thing is a gzer derabbanan, tuma be'eretz ha'amim. And so the question is that if the rabbanan decide that they don't want to put tuma in a particular area, so because of that, I'm maskim. But, I mean, does that mean that I would have agreed with you to say what you're saying now? That it would be a din in a diraisa? Wasn't a din in diraisa? What, do you want to be pattered from the maestros? I'm not sure. Achshav ani omer, shema nitkapsha midvar teira. I mean, if you're telling me about maestros, I can't go along with you on this. Because how do I know that this area, 100%, was not actually part of the early Bava? And if they were Kevashit, then it would have a din midiraisa to be chayev in the maestros. Because of that, I don't want to hold on to you. People will mistake that I agree with you. How could I do such a thing? Fine. Okay, so apparently there's a machlokas over here with a bar kapara. He held that Ashkelon was 100% chutzlaretz. It was never mekudesh. Why is it tahar? Because there were areas that were surrounded, like Ashkelon was, like we see with the Ginta, the Ashkelon. So they were surrounded by areas of Eretz Yisrael. They didn't make places in the middle of Eretz Yisrael. Tomei, Betumas, Ha'amim. That's all why. Okay, we'll go right with this tomorrow. I'm sorry it was inefficient. Well, if Barnea ends up having time, I don't want to put it on you. If you end up having time, it would be lovely to have a real presentation of these places. And I'm sorry I put you into an unpleasant position here. You would have told me, L'chatchila, that you can't do it. So then we just would have gone fighter.
No, I apologize. The traveling from Hoda Sharon.
Whenever, okay, I apologize. I apologize.
No, that's fine.
I didn't mean
to. I just want to mention what I've learned, that the sand dunes that we have, the whole coast, is only from the Byzantine period. And when you're in the time of Chazal and you're in the time of Bayit Sheni, the whole area was incredibly fertile. Yavne, Ashdod, Ashkelon, and the scallions come from Ashkelon. It was a product of Ashkelon. So when you're talking about Ginsa the Ashkelon, the fertility, that was very, very true in these times. But the fact that it was a Goyish city also resonates true historically in these times. Even in the time of the Maccabees, they're fighting Ashkelon. They're dealing with Ashkelon as a Goyish city.
What can I tell you? We've been through a hell of a lot. That's all I can tell you. It's time for this to end. All right.
That's back to how the Mephoshim learned the Mamzer and Ashdod. The Klal Yisrael will go back, you know, even there, a whole few different lines, even that will become ours again. Right? That's what some of them learned. They'll send me that piece.
No, I know. I've seen that page. Okay.
No part he's learned to that with the Mephoshim.
Halavai should
be. That's what it's expressing, that it will become ours.
Right? Yeah. I said I'm familiar with that understanding. I didn't mean to say Chas V'Shalom that I know everything. I just said I've heard that. Okay. Anyway, L'maisa Rabbi Isai, may we indeed be zeich at a time in which all of these places are indeed in our neighborhood, in which we're happy to go riding there, in which we're not threatened by dangerous gavi cows as we walk around. And the loyal Meduot Milchama, even the animals will be safe and sound, as the Navi describes it, at least Kipshute. And we should be Zeicha very soon, Halavai, to be able to have this Kinyan of Eretz Yisrael that includes all of these places. And this is just of deep historical interest, but at L'maisa, Halacha L'maisa, to be Chayev everywhere, and all the mitzvahs at least, Baretz, B'simcha, B'tuv Leva, Kol Tuv, everyone.